for anything that I say that's wrong, I'm speaking for myself. I do believe that whistleblowing is a vital effort in this day and age, now more than ever. We live in a time of unprecedented government secrecy and unprecedented wrongdoing. Added to that, we also have a phenomena of an untoward collusion between the mainstream media organizations and government that has surrendered a lot of the journalistic principles of keeping governments in check and holding them to account, whether it be because of political leanings or you want to get invited to the next Christmas party. I don't know why, but many of you see this in the reporting on television and in newspapers, and it's a distressing trend in this era of journalism. At the very issue of whether or not to support whistleblowers is the value and principle of anonymous speech. Now, as I said, I'm representing Al-Jazeera, but I'm also an American. And this is something in my country which we have a very rich tradition in anonymous speech, which we took from our British forefathers. It was used at the turn of, at the beginning of our country in discussion over the Federalist Papers about what form of constitution the US government would have. People posted anonymously long, lengthy critiques of what a future American government should have. And they did so because they didn't want retaliation, that they didn't want people to hurt them for having a public discourse. And time and again, the US Supreme Court in the United States has upheld the value of anonymous speech, recognizing that it releases inhibitions, it helps break taboos. And in fact, what's very amusing about the whole criticism of using anonymous speech these days is the fact that governments have nearly perfected anonymous speech. Let me give you a clear example. Oftentimes, foreign governments, the United States government, uses the media to help make policies go over well to the public. They message through anonymous sourcing. They go to journalists. And how many times did you see in the run-up to the Iraq War this senior administration official saying about WMD, or this senior intelligence official speaking to this organization on Saddam's intentions? So when it serves their interests, they have no problem picking up a phone, calling us journalists, and it happens all the time, and passing along their information. Why? Because the powerful can. They make the rules, right? Well, it's the same thing when it's turned on its head. Now they attack the leaks and disclosures and the anonymous sourcing. And it's wrong. This is the future of journalism. We have, as I said at the beginning, the unprecedented wrongdoing and the collusion of so many journalist organizations with these governments. People are finding ways in the digital age of taking massive amounts of information and putting it out on the internet. Now, at Al Jazeera, we recognize that trend, and we set up in recent months the Transparency Unit because we wanted to have a way to receive these tips and have a channel securely that people could come to us and pass information along if we were not able to obtain that information through traditional investigative journalism. Now, we're not a town crier organization. We don't publish immediate. We take in information, we vet it, we authenticate it, we stand it up, we give it context, we give it nuance, and at TV, our challenge is to turn documents into television that informs the public and helps make better choices to our viewers. We did that with the Palestine Papers back in January. Some of you may have seen it. We partnered with The Guardian. This was our first disclosure, if you will. It was 1,700 documents of secret negotiations between Israelis, Palestinians, and Americans. And it showed the inner workings of a process gone awry since 2000 to 2010. We took a lot of heat for doing it, but we stuck to our guns. And already in the business, we faced our first challenge, which is what to withhold. What don't you put out there? We were under tremendous pressure from the British government. In fact, we fielded calls from MI6 to withhold publication of the name of an alleged MI6 officer who proposed a secret rendition program to take mid-level Hamas operatives and to intern them with EU funding. Now, this is a plan that's legal under international law. We had a rigorous discussion inside about whether or not we disclosed the individual's name. He was listed as a British consul in Jerusalem at the time, and we had multiple sources saying he was, in fact, MI6. And at the end of the day, we said, if this was a Libyan intelligence officer, would we withhold his name?
No.
He was Venezuelan. Would we withhold his name?
No.
When you get rid of the my country, tis of thee, of objection that journalists often want to have. It's a liberating feeling. We put the name out there, and guess what? The world kept turning. No one got hurt. The end was not nigh. But what we did in all of our disclosures, when we gave context and information, because if you just put documents out there and they don't have any background to them, people don't really benefit. It's no use in putting a deluge of data if you don't tell people why it matters to them and why they should know about it. And in fact, they probably won't look at it. Now, the critics of my colleague Julian's organization, WikiLeaks, many of them are journalists. And I thought about what they've said about him in particular and about WikiLeaks and the impact it's had on our profession. And I come away with two thoughts I'd share with you. One is sort of a more basic human critique, which is they're hating on him because he got a scoop they didn't. Okay? If he was an American, or if he was from an established organization, they'd be talking about what awards are going to give him. And the editors would be having all sorts of discussions on the appropriateness of what they put out there. And the second point is that a lot of the organizations, to get back to my earlier statement, they don't have the editorial cojones to publish. Okay? This is evidence. Let me take you back to 2004 when the New York Times came up with, they found new information that the Bush administration was surreptitiously eavesdropping on U.S. citizens. The Bush administration weighed in on the New York Times, got them to delay publication until 2005, after Bush was safely reelected. They also withheld the Washington Post journalist David Finkel, also withheld the Apache helicopter footage that WikiLeaks put out there. Why did he withhold this? The My Country Tis of Thee rationale. The people will know what not to put out there. We see this in Egypt when they go into the Ministry of Interior and they see sex tapes. The people didn't put it out there because it violated privacy. The masses know what's appropriate and what's not to put out there, and so do us journalists, and we should be entrusted with that.
Thank you, Clayton.
Thank you very much.